Blog Talk Radio.
So what is it, like an actual studio, or is like at a...
Yeah, it's in Vegas. He moved to Vegas.
Oh, he just moved to Florida.
And now he's in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Just bought a Corvette, too.
Midlife crisis much?
Fucking mess.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about the big pay-per-view next weekend, Spence versus Ugas. Is it worth the money? Who wins? We got it all covered here. We'll break it all down for you. But first, we're going to get started with DAZN. Triple G, Gennady Golovkin versus Ryoto Murata for the IBF and WBA middleweight titles. Golovkin defies father time, wins by ninth round TKO over Murata on Saturday in Japan. I'll tell you what, man, things started off pretty shaky. Murata was landing the harder punches. He was going to Triple G's body early, and he was really making a difference. In about round three, if you take a look at Triple G's corner, he was breathing really, really heavy. I mean, real heavy. And I thought, man, I'll tell you what, he's going to be in some trouble if this fight goes to the later rounds. But around the fifth or sixth, something in the fight changed, man. Triple G's power was getting the best of Murata. Murata had stopped going to the body. He stopped being the aggressor. He was the aggressor early on in the fight. That all changed. He got hit with some hard shots, and the bottom line is he said, he said, I don't want to do it anymore. Triple G found his range. That jab that Triple G has, he still has a really good jab, really solid jab. He just dominated the fight at that point from like the sixth round on. The end came in the ninth round with a right hand that finished off Murata. And you know what? I went back and I watched the video of it a couple of times now. There's no way he should have been hit with that right hand. I mean, that was like a haymaker type right. You know what I mean? I didn't think he should have got hit with it. But I think that, again, man, he was just That power had hurt him early, and he just wasn't willing to really engage. So a couple takeaways from this fight, man. The positives for Triple G. Triple G's jab. I think that's a major positive. Played a big role in this win. He's got a great jab. He sets everything up with his power. With that jab, the power is always the last to go. And this is what actually turned the fight, in my opinion. It wasn't Triple G's boxing ability or anything like that. It was the power that he had. I think Murata felt his power in the middle rounds, didn't want to take any chances from that point on, and he just kind of skated. Now the negatives. I think he's starting to really look his age. He's 40. He looked it. He looked every bit of it Saturday. He was very flat-footed. He was taking quite a few shots, I thought, from Murata that he shouldn't have been hit with. He's going to fight Canelo next, and I'll be honest with you, man, I have a hard time seeing him win in that fight, and I have a hard time seeing him even be competitive in that fight. I mean, as much body work as Murata got away with in there, what do you think Canelo's going to get away with? I mean, really, let's think about that for a minute. What do you think Canelo's going to get away with? If Murata was able to go to that body with ease and pound him, and you looked at him in the third or fourth round, and his chest is going, I mean, like he was just in a marathon or something like that. What do you think Canelo's going to do to him? I mean, it's real simple. It's real simple, man.
You mentioned the jab, and you were right on point when you said that. What I think is early on, I think Triple G had the mindset that I'm going to outbox this guy. I think he went into this fight with the mentality that I'm going to fight Murata the same way I fought David Lemieux. And if you remember in that Lemieux fight,
yeah,
He was just picking them apart from the outside.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. Murata just was walking through, even though he was hitting him really good with the jab, Murata was still coming forward, and he couldn't stop him in his tracks. And Murata, he just couldn't keep Murata on the outside. And I give Triple G a ton of credit, because once he figured that I cannot keep this guy on the outside and pot shot him from the outside, he made a concerted effort that I'm going to have to fight this guy off me. I'm going to have to bite down on my mouthpiece and fight this guy off me. So then, you know, in rounds 2, 3, and 4, I thought Triple G was having a real hard time dealing with the body work, as you said, of Murata and the inside fighting. And Murata was coming over the top with that short chopping, looping right hand, and it was hitting Golovkin on the top of the head. And it was starting to bruise up his cheeks and stuff, right? Triple G said, you know what? Like I said, this guy's in my chest. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to have to fight him out of there. I'm going to have to stop punching with him, right? Triple G started getting low. He started going to the body a little bit, started tucking his chin, you know, grit his teeth, and he grinded it out on the inside. And he was outworking him. He started outworking Murata on the inside. He started hurting Murata to the body. Triple G started landing that left hook, right? And then he started throwing that looping right hand over the top, and he started having some success. And I was doing this fight with Corey Lee, the live broadcast, and we were just sitting there saying, wow, you know, Murata is just walking through these shots. Triple G's landing some good shots, and they're not having their effect. But then all of a sudden, in that fifth round, the fight just turned.
On a dime.
And Corey Lee said, I don't know how much of these punches Murata's going to be able to take before he stops feeling the effects of them. And we saw that round 5 told us that that's when he started really feeling the effects of those punches. And he started slowing down.
Yeah.
And then Golovkin, like you said, he felt as though he looked every bit of his 40 years old. But for being 40 years old and to be able to get that second win, right?
That was impressive. That was really impressive.
So, in my opinion, you know, a lot of people did not think highly of Murata. Murata is a 2008 Olympic bronze medalist. He's a tough, tough guy. Anyone who fights this guy, they're going to have to bring their lunch pail to work, because he's a tough, tough, hard fight for anyone. Not the greatest defensive fighter in the world, but again, he's going to keep coming at you. And that in itself is going to wear on a fighter, right? And we saw Triple G wince when he was getting hit with those body shots, saw him fight with his mouth open, and it looked like he was going to be in for a long night, but he decided, you know what? No, I got to make it happen, and he made it happen.
I mean, say what you want, but you said it perfectly. He had to grit his teeth, and he had to go in there and fight. And you know what? He could have very easily packed it in, being 40. He could have very easily packed it in, having no feet under him. Could have very easily packed it in, getting body shotted. You know, he didn't. Took it, you know, he gritted, bit down, and turned that fight around, man.
I made a statement last week, and I've been saying this, that I don't want to see a Golovkin-Canelo third fight. But I will have to concede that after this performance, whether you think he'll win or not against Canelo, right, I think he earned it. I think he earned it by you know, going to Japan and fighting a tough, rugged guy. He was a belt holder, right? But he was a tough guy, dangerous guy.
He was a belt holder.
I call him a belt holder. I hate those Reggie belts. I can't stand those Reggie belts. They aggravate me. But regardless, based off of what he showed us, or showed me at least, I think he earns that third Canelo fight.
I tell you what, I hate to agree with you. I really do, because I did not want to see that third fight. I don't want to see him take a beating. I really don't. I don't like to see anybody just take a beating.
Yeah, but he earned the payday.
He earned it, and he'll make a lot of money, and hey, more power to him.
Let him make a lot of money. Let him go out and ride off to the sunset with a big payday. He deserves it. And you know, a lot of people say he's overrated, and I have said he's overrated before when people put him in the all-time great conversation.
Yeah.
right? But you could argue, and I think it's fair to say, that he's the best middleweight of his era. But
he's one of the all-time great middleweights. I don't think anybody can take that.
He's a top 10 guy. But
he's
but,
one of the all-time great middleweights.
Yeah, you could put him in the top 10, which is fair.
I think you could probably put him in the top five.
I don't know. What do you got? You got
Hopkins.
Well, Roy Jones didn't really stay.
Roy Jones didn't stay at middleweight. But you got Hopkins.
Hopkins, Monzon, Hagler. Who else? Robinson, obviously, right?
Was he better at middleweight or welterweight, though?
He's better at welterweight, but he still won the middleweight title.
Yeah, but was he one of the all-time greats at middleweight?
I would say so, because he's won the middleweight title multiple times.
Yeah, okay.
Multiple times.
All right. It's hard to knock Sugar Ray Robinson.
Yeah.
So that's four.
So we got Monzon, we got Hagler, we got Hopkins. I would put Hopkins above him.
I would put Hopkins right toward the top.
And we got Sugar Ray Robinson, Marvin Hagler. Yeah, I mean,
if you wanted to put Roy Jones in there,
yeah,
I guess you could.
You could. You could put Roy Jones.
But
in
I
there,
think
yeah.
you have to. You have to say Golovkin's at least a top five of all time.
Would you put Sugar Ray Robinson? I would put, in my opinion, I'll put Marvin Hagler at number one.
Jake LaMotta, stop.
I put Marvin Hagler.
Jake LaMotta's a great fighter. He's not.
Yeah.
No, he's not one of the all-time.
I would put Marvin Hagler, maybe at number one. Marvin Hagler would be my number one. I put B-Hop at number two.
Over under Hagler?
Yeah, Hagler.
So?
Yeah, he's a better. He's a better.
No.
Player. He had a way better resume, bro.
From
way
Boston.
Better resume. Hagler, Hopkins number two.
But again, you got to fight who you can fight.
Yeah, but I think Hagler would have given Hopkins fits because he's just so tough, gritty.
I think that would have been a heck of a fight.
Hopkins is much bigger though, 6'1". But again, Hagler's beating guys bigger than him.
Yeah,
right.
But the defense on Hopkins though, man, right?
But once again, you got a guy like Hagler, ambidextrous, a guy who can fight pretty well on the outside, inside.
It's a good fight.
Very versatile.
It's a good fight, man.
So Hagler's my number one. Hopkins is my number two. I would put Hopkins my number two. I would probably put Ray Robinson at my number three, right? Then I would put Carlos Monzon as my number four. And then possibly Golovkin could be my – Yeah,
and this is all based on, and we're basing this off of, you know, what they did at middleweight, in our opinion, obviously, but what they did at middleweight. Could Roy Jones, somebody said Roy Jones would have beat him. Yeah, Roy Jones probably would have beat everybody.
Roy Jones would have beat him, but
he would have beat everybody at middleweight. But he didn't stay at middleweight long enough to be considered a middleweight.
He didn't really even, I think he only had like one or two defenses. It wasn't like one or, like it's like, so that, I don't think it's fair.
Talking about guys that have multiple defenses at this, you know what I mean? We're talking about guys that were, you know.
Hopkins had the record for middleweight title defenses. He broke the record. And then I guess Golovkin broke
his record. You know, I guess it depends on how you look at it, because they were talking about regular belts and everything. Listen, if there's to me, title fight with a main sanctioning body at WBC, WBA, that's the title fight, man.
Yeah, I think you could put Golovkin at number five. I agree with you. So, I mean, Golovkin is a Hall of Famer. Yeah. So I guess when I say overrated, like people were saying that he would beat Hagler, he would beat Hopkins. I just don't. And this is just subjectively my opinion.
I don't know, man.
It's not that I'm right, you're wrong.
Right.
It's just I think when they started saying those things, then I felt as though they were overrating. Now, did I think he lost to Devrenchenko? Yes. Did I think he lost to Jacobs? Sure. Yes. But once again, I mean, those fights – you could argue the other way. It wasn't like those fights were clear robberies. No.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he beat Jacobs, but it was a very close fight. I kind of thought Devrenchenko beat him like 8 rounds to 4, though. I thought that fight was pretty clear.
I thought, yeah. Yeah, I thought so, too.
But again, that's just my opinion.
I think either way we look at it, we know Triple G's a middleweight great. I mean, nothing he does from here on out will affect his standing. Hall of Famer, got to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And I think just knowing this, I don't like to see guys like, I see Pacquiao. I don't like to see anybody take a beating, a legend take a beating. That's why I don't want to see this third fight. I really don't. Because I think, again, man, from what I saw in this fight, but that being said, what would be different about a third fight? Okay. Well, it would be at 168. I would imagine it would be at 168. And I told you on, was it Thursday or Friday when I saw him weigh in, texted you and I said, he looks horrible. Everybody else was saying, oh my God, he looks shredded. He looks great. He looked awful at that weigh-in. He looked dry. His face looked sunken in. He didn't look good.
There's a difference, and I think I've said this several times on the show, between being lean, cut, and yes. ripped. When you're ripped, that's just aesthetics.
Yeah.
You're dry to the bone ripped. You may look great. You may look great. The honey dips may be drooling over you, right?
They drool over us now.
Yeah, but... You know, can you perform with the honey dips when you're that dry and that depleted? Just because you look ripped, that doesn't always transcend into being in fighting condition,
yes.
right? You don't want to be too lean and too dry going into a fight, right? So, even when the bead was like the bead. Goes to gets down to like 190 sometimes, 188. Can't perform the way he can perform when he's at 200 pounds. A whole different ball game. The honey dips notice it.
Jesus.
It happens.
I guess so. I guess so. I guess we learned a lot about Dean today.
Why does it always have to go back to beef? That's what Eric is saying.
Just saying, you know.
Get a fucking show to
you know, they got pills. I mean, they got pills for that, man.
Oh, yeah. Those things are great. It's like jumping back into a time machine.
Oh, my God. And then you jump back on Lois, who's a plastic doll. So they.
Oh,
you
know. Stop it.
Oh.
Please.
Oh.
But yeah, I think he earns that kind of a fight, the third fight.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought, you know, too, if you were going in and if it was a close fight at the end, like a decision, like a close decision, he ain't getting that fight.
Yeah.
He's not getting that third Canelo fight because nobody's gonna want to watch that. Given the fact that he knocked him out ninth round.
Is this a fight of the year?
But what's that?
Is this a fight of the year candidate?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. Is there any way with the extra added weight it helps him? I think it does help him because he's getting older.
Yeah.
And I think that he, you know, him trying to cut down that much, I think his stamina will be better. I know a lot of times it goes against that, you know, against the grain when you go up in weight, your stamina gets lower. Yeah. But I think for him, it'll help him. Stamina-wise, I think it'll help him. But I still don't think he wins.
I'm not so sure Canelo stops him, though. Do you think Canelo stops him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he stops him. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish, like I said, man, I wish it wasn't the case, but yeah, he stops him.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely got to favor Canelo in that third fight.
Oh,
definitely.
God. Yeah. I mean, I think you have to favor him under the 12, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what the over-under is going to be, probably around 9 or 10.
So if you were to bet the fight, would you just bet, like, Canelo would be the heavy favorite, right? But probably get decent odds on Canelo by stoppage. Would that be the play that you
I would? Yeah, I would, because you're not going to get any money off of Canelo just winning.
I got you.
You know, what are you going to pay, like $100 to get, you know, or, you know, you get $1, $10 back or something crazy? I mean, it's not even – or what do you have to bet? Like, how does that work if you're betting
– Well, it depends what the odds are. I mean, like the prop bets, you have to, you know, you bet them to win by stoppage, you bet them to win by decision. So,
right, so if he's a minus 650, you have to bet 650 to win 100 back.
Correct.
Gotcha,
correct.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It won't even be close, man, to be honest.
Yeah.
Notorious CC said, I'm just saying random stuff. What does that even mean? What's the matter with you? And who is it? Was it Notorious or Centurion? One of the guys said, I wasn't giving Canelo, or not Canelo, but Triple G credit. Giving them all the credit in the world. What do
you
want to do, man?
It's kind of corny. Like, we've been doing this a long time, right? you guys have been listening a long time. You know that when we get our picks wrong, we're not ashamed to say we're wrong.
We take pies for it.
We've taken pies in the face for being wrong. So come on here and act like we're gonna get all emotional. It's boxing, all right. It's not our lives don't depend on whether we get a fight right or wrong. You know what I'm saying? And if you guys are gonna criticize or Notorious BC, if you're gonna criticize us for that, then if you're so good and you're a genius, then show me your betting slips. Show me. You must not have to work then if you know who's gonna always win and who's gonna always lose. If you're forced to pick every fight, right, that takes place over the course of a year, you're gonna at least get 40% of your picks wrong. You know, so if we're gonna not be able to give our opinions on who's gonna win or who's gonna lose, and be afraid of being wrong, then what's the sense of even doing the show?
Very true.
You know,
very true.
Kind of corny that you get so emotional. I know you're a Golovkin fan, but just because someone thinks he's going to lose a fight, why are you gonna get upset at that person for picking against your hero?
Your hero.
Crazy, so, man.
Centurion says he wants to sing Good Boy Killer as a prey. What is Good Boy Killer?
I don't know, man.
Do you know what that's? I don't even know that song.
I don't know that song.
But
I guess because it's kind of like a joke because you remember when Golovkin...
I know he always says Good Boy in drama shows and stuff like that. Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's a trip, man. All right. Let's talk about the real main event here. All right. Let's talk about the real main event on DAZN. Ryan Garcia versus Emmanuel Tagoe. That's right. Ryan Garcia wins a unanimous decision over Emmanuel Tagoe by the scores of 119-108 twice and 118-109. I want to know who gave Tagoe one round. I want to know which round it was. I also want to know the other gave him two rounds. I want to know where is it going to, where did you find these rounds to give him? How anybody gave him a round here is beyond me, man. Garcia, to me, and I know we're going to disagree on this, Beeb, to me, he looked very solid in his return. He's been away for about a year. He's come back, all the stuff he had to deal with. He did everything he possibly could to try and finish his fight. Tagoe was just not willing to fight. He was happy to play defense for the entire fight. His own commentators seem to be down on Garcia on his performance, but I don't know what else he could have done. I mean, he won every single round, every second of every single round, But I'll tell you this, who was it? Jojo Diaz came in there and took a dump all over Garcia's performance, mid-fight. And then Sergio says, well, I see where he's coming from. I kind of agree with him. So you just, as a DAZN commentator, this moron just took a dump all over his fight. You're an idiot. I mean, a complete moron. Not to mention, jab. That's the only thing I heard out of Garcia's mouth all night. Jab, he's not jabbing. He's out punching this guy 4 or 5 to 1. The guy's turtling up. He's running. He's got track shoes on. What else does he need to do to get your stamp of approval?
Eric? I'm going to have to disagree with you. I did not like Garcia's performance at all.
What did you not like about it?
I don't like how he was just going in there, loading up, throwing one punch at a time, not going to the body. And yes, you need to throw with jabs. You just can't walk in there and throw that haymaker right in over the top.
Tell you what, he could have thrown anything. That guy wasn't going to engage. You know how difficult it is to fight a guy who doesn't want to engage?
But he wasn't even trying to open him up. He was doing the same thing. He was doing the same thing over and over again. This is what he was doing.
Nah, he came in. Those hooks that he throws, those are like lightning punches, man. Everything he throws is lightning.
I thought he fought a very sloppy fight.
Oh.
He almost looked amateurish to me, man.
How about Joe Goosen here? Training him.
And this is the thing. I'm expecting, even in that Campbell fight, right? I was so high on him after that, right? He was actually setting up his shots. He was putting shots together. He was going to the – knocked him down with a body shot, right? And Campbell started becoming a little defensive-minded, too, when he got hurt, right? See, when you got to be able to cut off a ring. You got to be able to open a guy up when
he
when
did cut it off. He was cutting off that ring, man. That guy, I'm telling you, go watch the fight. He cut off the ring. That's what I noticed about it, too, early on, because I'm watching him, and I'm like, why does he cut off the ring? I'm like, he is cutting off that ring. You watch him, and he doesn't follow him. He's cutting it off. Guy shoots this way. He didn't want to fight me. You're talking about a guy, what is he, a 30 fights? 30 fights in? I'm talking about to go here.
I mean, understand.
30-some-odd fights? He knows what he's doing.
I understand the guy was shelling up or whatever, but again, you're not going to get it done with that wild looping right here over the top over and over again. You can't just throw one punch at a time. Here's the thing too, Eric. If you see a guy that's just shelling up like that and he's not throwing punches back at you and he's in survival mode, then you just back him into a corner and just keep throwing punches and get a stoppage.
You know, the other thing too is G-Funky has brought up a real good point. He said if Ryan stuck those fundamentals, he would have got to go out of there. But he's swinging for the fence. I think the reason he's swinging for the fence is there was nothing coming back at him. There was really nothing. I mean, he offered up zero offense.
He fought like an amateur last night.
Oh, stop it.
I didn't like the performance at all.
How dare you? Oh, that's terrible.
You got to open a guy up. You got to get creative with your offense. You got to throw more than one punch at a time. You got to use the
combos. What are you talking about?
Loading up with the right hand.
You're hating on Garcia for no reason.
Listen,
I
know you're getting free tickets to the next fight, but and I know you don't want to F that up.
I don't.
I know
so
you
just,
don't want to F
I need you to chill out here. You know, we might have him on a guest. He might be watching right now.
I didn't like the performance. I'll be honest.
How dare you? Wow. What could he have done? What should he have done? I mean, come on, B.
I would have thrown the jab more.
All right.
I would have tried to set the right hand up instead of just throwing it a wild right hand and loading it up, right? Throwing the right hand like a slingshot. Also, I would have went to the body more, right? And I would have tried to throw uppercuts. You know, he needs to jab. He needs to jab. Because if you're going to throw, if you're telling – hey, buddy, guess what I'm throwing? I'm going to throw the right hand. Here it comes. Let me write you a letter before it gets there. I mean, come on, bro.
We've seen Devin Haney in this type of fight.
Even the Beeb throws a jab in street fights. No, I haven't had a street fight since I was fucking 20. But, I mean, you got to set
20?
Up. Yeah, you got to set up.
Who are you fighting in the streets at 20?
Well, you know.
Isn't that to be a little bit old to be having a street fight?
No, playing basketball.
You're playing basketball, and you decided, I'm going to jab this guy in his face.
I mean, the guy.
I'm playing ball. Let me just break this down for you. I'm playing basketball, having a good time, people around watching. Everybody's out having a good time. And I figure to myself, I'm going to punch this guy in the face.
Well, let me ask you this.
What's the matter with you?
You take the ball to the hole.
Savage.
It's one thing getting fouled hard. But if someone's taking your legs out, they're trying to maim you. Can't allow someone to maim you over a street game. Take my livelihood away from me. Take my legs out from underneath me. I may not be able to ever work again. I can't let that go unpunished.
He took your legs out. You got up, threw a punch at him, then got stripped, boy.
Fuck him with the jab. Let him know I'm here, baby. Take that, daddy.
His boys surrounded him, beat the crap out of Beam.
Remember that movie when the guy goes to his car and gets the gun?
That's right. He came back and got it.
I'm going to smoke everyone in here. Oh, you got to throw a jab, man. You just can't throw wild right hands, man.
Nah, man. I mean, I thought, like I said, I think it was good that he got rounds. But to go, what is to go got, like 30-some-odd fights? Yeah. I think he's got over 30-some-odd fights, man. Listen, so got one loss in those 30 fights. You know this guy. Listen, man, you know yourself. If you're trying to hit a guy who's that experienced, and not that Garcia's not experienced, because they both do the same thing for a living. I get it. But a guy that's that experienced, a guy that's that adept at defense and everything like that, you're not going to hit that guy. You're not getting that guy out of there.
Here's the thing. When you look at a guy like Devin Haney, constantly throwing that jab, constantly trying to set up those shots, constantly throwing flurries, setting up his punches. That's even if you don't get a knockout, as long as I'm seeing that you're doing that, right? And you're just fighting a smart, intelligent fight. I mean, you're not doing the same thing over and over again. And you're setting your shots up. You're putting your punches together. You're varying up your punches. But if I see you going in there trying to do the same thing over and over again, telegraphing your shots, why do you think he was able to not to survive? Because the shots were being telegraphed. He knew the right hand was coming because he telegraphed it, and he threw it wild all night. And he threw it in that looping, weird overhand fashion. He wasn't varying up his shots. He was just walking forward, throwing one punch at a time, loading up. And at this level, you can't do that.
Even Goosen said, maybe he'll stand still and maybe we can get some stuff off because right now he's just moving. That's all he's doing.
That's fine. And there's going to be guys that do that, and you're going to have to be able to decipher that.
And he did, but he won every round.
He won every round, but again, didn't look good doing it.
He won every round. Team Batman says, Goosen said beforehand he would be totally shocked if it went the distance. I'm sure Garcia said he would be totally shocked if it went the distance. His people said it would be shocked if he went the distance. What is he supposed to say? Of course he's going to say, I'm going to be shocked if it went the distance.
Garcia
predicted a knockout before the fight.
Garcia was trying too hard to knock this kid out, and he was forcing the knockout instead of setting it up and letting it flow. That's it. And even before the fight, Garcia said, I'm going to knock him out in two rounds. And Goosen said that the fight's probably not going to go past five.
That's what he said.
Then all of a sudden, okay, I'm sorry.
He said Robbie's going to retire Ryan Garcia today.
No, we're going to retire you today, Notorious BC, because you're a hater.
Oh, stop it. He's a member. What's the matter with you? I think. I don't know.
No, he's not a member.
Oh, well, you're retiring.
Yeah, we're retiring.
I wouldn't make anybody sing the Good Boy Killer song, except I don't know anybody who knows the Good Boy Killer song.
Yeah, why don't you call in and sing it for us so we can, and I'll sing along with you.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is. All right, so on the other card of this fight was Gabe Rosado and Shane Mosley Jr. Shocking to me that Shane Mosley wins a wide decision over Gabriel Rosado. I am just shocked over this one. I mean, Gabe Rosado was on such a run. But it's got to be a tough fight for him to get up for, right? I mean, he couldn't have got that much money from it, you know? I mean, it's got to be a tough
Gabe,
fight.
Gabe just seems to be a step behind everyone right now. And he's just not getting off first. And these young cats are just ahead of him. It's just one step ahead of him, right?
Huge win. Huge win for Mosley Jr. Biggest win of his career by far. Mm-hmm. By far. This is huge.
Yeah.
Very big win, man. Hey, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Showtime, man. Erickson Lubin versus Sebastian Fundora. Fundora wins by TKO in the ninth over Erickson Lubin. Lubin's corner stopped the fight after the ninth round. This is a good fight, man. This is really good. Both guys knocked down. I thought in that second round he caught him, he clipped him with that uppercut. I thought this fight was over, man.
Yeah, I think he's.
I mean, that was a solid uppercut. A lot of back and forth here. Sebastian Fundora is now ready for some good step up fights now. Lubin's a pretty big name. I think now he fights somebody bigger. Is he ready for the upper echelon of it? I don't think so, but or he's ready for the upper echelon. Is he ready for the champions? I don't know about all that yet, but he's proved he's ready to at least try. Lubin suffered a broken nose and a separated shoulder in this fight. Lubin, Jesus, here it is, man. I'm going to say it. Lubin's done. He'll fight again because I'm not retiring him. I don't think he should retire. He's just done. But he'll never be a championship fighter. His ceiling has now been determined. He'll always be a gatekeeper now. He's been knocked out twice. Everybody's going to see that. Listen, it is what it is. It is. He's done.
You are just crushing all his hopes and dreams
so far in the sport now.
I hope he's not watching right now.
What's he going to do? Come over here and get knocked out again. Actually, I'm arrested. You know what I'm saying?
No, but I'm just saying you're destroying all his hopes and dreams.
Hey, listen, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to say?
Please.
Do you think he'd become a champion in that division?
Absolutely not. But I wouldn't be so harsh about it like you are.
What's the difference? What's the difference of how I say it? I just said it. You know what I mean?
You could put someone down gently. You don't have to just take a shit all over someone like you're doing right now.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. I'm sorry.
You're worse than Robbie, that little rat.
Jeez.
Always retiring people.
What do you think about Fandora's chances going forward?
I love the kid. And a lot of people are saying, you know, he needs to use his height, he needs to use his reach. But he threw a ton of jabs in that fight. If you go back and you really watch the fight closely, he steps in hard with the jab. He pushes his opponent back. And here's the thing, you know, there's no law that says just because you're tall that you can't fight on the inside. Here's the problem with a lot of tall guys that try to fight on the inside. They don't know how to do it. This guy does, right? And when you're on the inside and you're fighting a guy like Fandora, first of all, when you're on the inside, you know, the only way you can really tell what punches are going to come at you, it's easier when there's space in between the two fighters because you can glance down, look at the guy's feet to kind of see which way he's leaning. You could look at his shoulders more. You could see his eyes and stuff. But when a guy's in your chest, the only one thing you could really look at is the shoulder. When a guy is going to drop down, you can see him open up the shoulder, drop down. You know the body punch is coming. You know the uppercut is a probability. But when you got a guy that's 6'5" and you're like in his chest, you can't see his shoulders. So when he throws that uppercut, a normal uppercut, a guy has to, you know, a guy will drop down and he'll come all the way up like that. This guy is throwing his uppercut, right? And it's not even like, it's almost like a 6-inch punch. But he's just dipping, like a little subtle dip, and he's just turning that punch up like that. Instead of like going up like a normal uppercut, even a normal uppercut's being thrown, a guy will bend, twist, and bring the punch all the way up high, right, to his opponent's chin. Because he's so tall and his opponents are so much shorter compared to him, he only has to just like throw that punch 4 inches and he's going to touch the guy with it.
Yeah.
And because that guy can't see that shoulder and he can't see when he's dipping, when he's throwing it, it's a blind punch, right? It's a hard punch to see, and it's being thrown from a blind spot, and he just throws it so effortlessly and doesn't really over accentuate the movement. It's a real short, crisp, little short uppercut like that, right? And he just, for him to be able to shorten up his shots, right, that much while having an 80-inch reach and also being able to generate power. Like, remember Foreman used to throw those 6-inch punches and used to hurt guys? I'm not saying he has the power of Foreman, but he can really stun guys with throwing, like, those 6-inch type punches. Go back and when you watch him, how he just throws those, like, short hooks, those little 45-degree punches. They're not even traveling that far, but they're causing a lot of damage. And you could see they were causing a lot of damage. All you had to do was look at Lubin's face. But the reason why he was able to land that uppercut so much on the inside is because you can't see it coming, because the guy's so tall, you're looking at the bottom of his chest, and you can't even see his shoulders.
Yeah.
So you can't time and gauge when those punches are going to be coming and where they're coming from. So he's going to be a problem for anyone. And here's the thing, too. People will say, well, he gets hit a lot. He got hit with a couple of good shots. But when they were going back and showing the replays, he was partially blocking a lot of the shots. A lot of those shots were grazing the top. He was rolling a couple of them. You know, it's hard to hit this guy clean because he's so tall. You have to reach up to hit him. And, you know, that takes a lot of leverage out of his opponent's punch. And it's going to be really hard for them to hit him clean. Lubin is a very good defensive fighter. He's a very good counter puncher. He's a very skilled boxer, accurate puncher himself. But he was really nullified in this fight. His volume was really down. And when you have a guy that's going to keep coming forward and he's going to blanket you with volume and pressure, that in itself is a defensive weapon, because it keeps you on the defense and it forces you to keep your hands at home, because you're going to have to constantly defend against this guy. And when you go back and look at how many punches Lubin threw in this fight compared to how many Fandora threw, Fandora, like, more than doubled the punch output, right? So this guy's just going to be a problem. He's going to be a problem. He's only 24 years old, so he's only going
to
get better.
And there's room for him to improve and everything like that. And he's a tall guy. I mean, it's a hard thing to deal with, especially in that division, especially him being that tall. I mean, he's like freaky tall, you know?
Almost 6'6". He's like 6'5 and a half.
And at 147. That's insane.
And how tall do you think he is when he has the boxing shoes on? That adds another inch.
Got to, right? I mean, yeah, he has to.
Pretty soon, this guy could probably do 360 dunks.
He probably could do it now, you know?
I'm saying.
Tell you what.
360 dunks. So I like this kid, though.
Yeah.
I like Fondora a lot.
Me too, man. Me too. All right, ESPN, main event over there, Duke Reagan versus Dayul Alguin. Duke Reagan wins a unanimous decision every round, son. Easy win for Duke Reagan. Let me tell you something. Hey, babe, you know where Duke Reagan's from? Right here, son. Right here in Cincinnati. That's right. The main event there. Co-main was Giovanni Santillan versus Giovanni Barraza. Santillan wins a seventh round TKO. There we go. All right, let's go to the...
What about Mikaia Mayer, baby? Jessica Hahn.
Jessica Hahn. Was it really Jessica? Jennifer Hahn.
Jennifer Hahn, whatever.
What about it?
It's a great fight.
Yeah, it's 20 minutes of solid action. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Great fight.
Sure. Who won it?
Mikaia Mayer. Beautiful performance.
I'd rather see in her commercials.
Christ, man. This misogyny knows no bounds.
I'm just saying, man.
You have to always gloss over the women boxing, man. Come on.
I'm not the only one. Joe Ramos in the chat says, Mikaia bores me. There you go.
That was a beatdown, man. Poor Jennifer Hahn's face. You see how bloodied up she was at the end of that fight?
No, because I didn't watch it.
Come on. Jeez. She's added a really good inside game, man. Before she was basically. Come on, please.
I didn't say nothing. I'm bouncing stuff off of you. You're saying she had an inside game. I heard she had an inside game. I'm just saying.
Such a derisive tone you said it in.
Oh,
please. It's a good fight. What do you think, though, if she can't get a unification at 130, right?
Yeah.
She said she would go up to fight the winner of Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano. What do you think of that?
I think she ought to go on the Bachelorette. I think that would be good.
Come on, please. Show some respect.
I'm just saying, Wyatt.
Oh, my God.
What did I say that was so bad?
That is horrible.
I didn't even say nothing, man.
You can't say things like that.
I didn't even say nothing. Man, I'm going to go to the phones. I'm in trouble here. Let's bring on Ringside Robert. Robert,
Eric, alive. Eric, I'm not going to dig you out of your hole, man. You put yourself in it. I'm not going to help you. I'm not helping you at all. Sorry, brother.
Robert, did you watch
the fight? Did you watch Mikaia Mayer fight?
Of course I did. It was a wonderful performance, man. She did a wonderful job.
Do you think she would be good on The Bachelor, The Bachelorette?
No, she's good in the boxing ring. And you know what, Joe, I think she is going to go up.
What about Temptation Island? Is she good on that? I think she'd be good on Temptation Island, too.
This is boxing. Come on, get out of here. Lisa, control your husband, man. Jesus Christ.
Lisa getting hit with shrapnel.
Good God. But no, seriously, Joe, I think she will move up to 135, and I would love to see her fight the winner of Serrano-Taylor.
Bobby, do you think you owe Triple G an apology? Because last week you shit all over him. You said he's tired.
You said
he's going to get his ass kicked.
Yeah, that's what you said, Robert. Yeah.
I picked him to lose, but you really, really destroyed this guy's character. Now you don't think Triple G belongs in the Wait a minute now. You don't think Triple G belongs in the Hall of Fame?
No, I told you I think he does belong in the Hall of Fame.
You don't think he's one of the all time greats at middleweight?
Yes, he is. Now,
I don't know what you were saying last week, man. You were saying he was trash.
Speaking of Triple G, the part I don't like, okay, I don't want to see this fight because I think he's going to get severely hurt. I think Canelo is going to do severe damage.
Come on,
I mean,
this is just pure hyperbole.
I mean, come on. I was watching the first four rounds of that fight, and I was picturing Canelo throwing those body shots.
This is propaganda.
Okay.
Oh, don't steal my lines. No, that's the only thing that
on.
I say. Now.
I said that.
You know, come on.
I said that. I said, who could imagine Canelo in there?
Canelo.
You can't take my line and then use it against me.
Canelo is going to rip him apart, man. He's 40 years old.
Come on, Robbie.
Father Time is undefeated, brother. I mean,
okay, but you said Father Time was going to beat him yesterday, and it didn't happen.
Well,
where was Father Time?
Murata didn't have the skills to take advantage of.
Now he doesn't have the skill.
Oh, come on.
Last week you said he was going to destroy him.
Who did you pick? Did you pick Murata last week, Robert?
I wanted Murata to win because I don't want to see this
fight.
Oh,
you picked Murata. Don't try to flip it and say you wanted him to win.
Yes, I did pick him, Joe, and I'm not going to deny that.
I said Murata would eke out a narrow decision.
No,
you said
Murata was
going to destroy him.
No, I wanted Murata to knock him out because this fight is going to – he's going to get hurt, man. Seriously.
Yeah,
I don't want to see
that fight, but I think he's earned it, though. I agree with B, but I think he's earned it.
You don't think, Robbie, that Golovkin, after all these years in the sport of boxing, you don't think he deserves one last big payday?
You don't think he deserves that? Oh, my God. Of course he does.
He's going to get destroyed, man. Whoa! First he was going to get destroyed. Now he's going to get fucking destroyed. What are you going to put fucking in there for, Robbie?
Because Canelo Alvarez Canelo Alvarez is the best non-heavyweight in boxing today, and he's going to have a very easy night's work come September 17th. Period.
Please, Robbie. You know, this is what bothers me about you, right?
Oh, come on.
You wanted Murata to knock out Golovkin, right? You wanted Murata to hurt him, right?
That's right.
You were saying all these nasty things. You wanted Golovkin. You were wishing so much pain and anguish on Golovkin, right, on Saturday. It was okay for Murata to do a demolition job on Golovkin. But it's not okay for Canelo to do it.
I don't want to see him in the boxing ring anymore. He's done.
He just had a highlight reel knockout. Dominated from the fifth round on.
LeBron James winning the NBA championship, and now you're telling him to retire.
And he's saying, would you disagree with the fact Murata's not a world-class fighter?
Of course he is.
He just knocked out a world-class fighter.
Murata is not in the class.
Murata is not in the class of Canelo Alvarez.
No, but not many people are, though. I don't think that he's beaten Canelo. Don't get me wrong. He's not beating Canelo. But I do think he's at least earned that payday by beating Murata.
Now, he did what he needed to do yesterday. He did earn the payday, but I, I'm afraid of what the result is going to be. Aren't you guys seriously afraid of what's going to happen?
I am. I don't want to see him take a beating. Yeah, I don't
you
want to
You weren't
see him
afraid of Murata hurting him, but you were afraid of Canelo.
Canelo is
two different fighters. Two different fighters.
Canelo is more dangerous.
He just
man.
Said he was rooting for Murata to knock him out, right?
That's
so
right.
For him to knock him out, he would have had to hurt him, right? So it was okay for Murata to hurt him, but it's not okay for Canelo to hurt him.
Because
you
Canelo,
the craziness in this argument.
Oh Jesus Christ! Okay.
It makes no sense. The argument. Am I wrong here?
You're not wrong,
well,
B.
Okay.
Are you
wrong? I'll drop the subject.
School Eric on Ryan Garcia's horrible performance.
Yeah, what do you think of Ryan Garcia?
As far as Ryan Garcia, okay, he won every single round. Okay, I agree with you, Eric. He did, but here's the problem: he took this guy lightly, and he thought he could do whatever he wanted and get rid of him whenever he wanted. And this guy had 34 fights, and he knew how to fix it so he could survive. He didn't use his jab. He didn't cut off the ring very well. Ryan Garcia took this guy lightly, and I'm pissed off at the Golden Boy matchmakers. Where did they find this dude? If you want Ryan Garcia to totally look good, you needed to put somebody in there that was more offensive minded, so Ryan Garcia could put more skills on display. What we saw last night was a 36-minute sparring session.
Yeah, I mean, but again, what is the guy supposed to do?
Robbie,
one guy wanted to fight, the other guy didn't want to fight.
He threw no jabs, right?
No, he
loaded
did not.
Up, threw one punch at a time.
Yeah.
And you're blaming the matchmaker of that? You're blaming the matchmaker because of that?
No, what I'm blaming the matchmaker
what's next?
On.
You're going to stop blaming ring card girls next? Come on, what's going on here?
Jesus Christ.
Why can't Ryan Garcia take accountability for his own actions? Why are you going to stop blaming freaking matchmakers, the guy who's selling the peanuts?
Stop it, Steve.
You're going to start yelling at the guy who sold. Was it the guy who was selling the peanuts in row three? I mean, what's going on here?
Come on, Steve.
Why is it the matchmaker's fault?
Steve is very upset right now, Robert.
He's a professional fighter.
He's the one talking about being 185 pounds and not being able to perform with females. So, get out of here with that.
Robbie, you don't want me to freaking expose what you told me one day, do you?
Give me a break.
I'm going to expose what you told me one day.
You can't perform with females.
About your ex-wife.
He's just, whoa.
You don't want me to do that?
What's the matter with you? Robbie?
Hey, Joe, if you keep this
you
up.
You
want
to go there, Robbie? Yes or no? You want to go there?
No.
Oh, stop it, B. What's the matter?
Okay.
Give me a break.
So take that back, what you just said about the 185 pounds.
He can't. You said it. You were the one that
said it.
Why would he take it back? You were the one that said it.
I can say it, but he can't say it.
Lisa just texted me the following. This is a train wreck, watching myself.
Lisa, I have
all right,
to
this
agree.
Is from Notorious D.C. Let me jump in here. This is from Notorious D.C. Shout out to Notorious D.C. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate you supporting the show. His question, or actually a statement. Robbie just retired a guy after he became a unified champion. This is a new level for retirement Robbie. How do you respond?
I did not retire him, guys. He has earned the payday. What I'm afraid of is the damage he's going to receive in that payday. I mean, come on. We all love the sport of boxing.
You were rooting for him to get knocked out on Saturday.
In order for
that to happen, he would have gotten hurt then. So why were you not afraid of him getting hurt on Saturday, but now you're afraid of him getting hurt against Canelo?
Because Canelo Alvarez is a much more dangerous fighter. Joe, I mean, come on. Murata, he's got 13 knockouts and 16 wins. Canelo has 39 knockouts and 57 wins. Give me a break.
Parada's got a higher knockout percentage. Parada's got a higher knockout percentage than Canelo.
Parada's a gold medalist, isn't he? He was an
Olympian. No, he won
was
the
a
bronze.
Bronze medalist.
Was he a bronze
he won
medalist?
The bronze.
Bronze medalist.
Yeah.
I know he was an Olympian. Not
yeah,
why are you trying to minimize how dangerous Morata is? Did you see those body shots? Did you see him wincing?
I thought he was going to stop him. I really did think Morata was going to stop him.
Well, in the first four rounds, I thought it wasn't going to last very long. But in the fifth round,
yeah.
when he knocked Morata's mouthpiece out, that changed the entire fight.
Were you impressed with Triple G's performance on Saturday?
Yes, I was, because honestly, after the first four rounds, I was very worried about whether he's going to be able to continue or not. In the fifth round, to come back.
You're not worried about him. You were rooting for him to get knocked out. How could you be worried about someone you wanted to get knocked out?
Of course I was.
You have it both ways.
Because,
Robert,
real quick,
before we jump off here, would you rather see Ebony Bridges or Michaela Mayer on Temptation Island? Which one would you rather see?
Neither one, because they're boxers.
They can't do other things? That's just, wow, you really stereotype people. Well,
women can't do other things besides box?
That's messed up.
You don't even acknowledge the female fight, so I can stereotype them and put them in a ring. I see Ebony Bridges
at the weigh-in all the time.
Do you want to apologize for what you said about Triple G, yes or no?
No.
you're not a man of honor.
The guy is not a man of honor, man. I would like somebody to call in and disagree with me on the damage that Canelo's going to do to him.
Now you're looking for a lifeline. Get out of here. No one's going to come to your aid. Now you're looking for a lifeline.
I agree, Robbie. I don't want to see the third fight either.
I did not want to ever see this fight, because the first two fights
would
were
you
wonderful.
Watch the fight?
Yeah, I watched both
would
of
watch
them.
The
okay.
Fight?
Yeah, of course
will you
I
watch
will.
The third one.
Yes.
Are you going to watch the third one?
Yes.
Are you going to be rooting for Canelo? If Golovkin to get knocked out in the third fight too?
I'm going to be rooting for Canelo, because that's how it's going to go. And yes, he will get knocked out.
Are you going to be rooting for Golovkin to get knocked out in the third fight, yes or no?
Yes, and matter of fact, if I've got extra money, I'll put money on it.
Then why are you afraid he's going to get hurt if you're rooting for him to get knocked out?
Why would you root for him to get knocked out?
Because I want the guy to no longer be in boxing. He's done, okay?
You want to see him get hurt?
He's done.
So because you don't want this guy to box anymore, you want to see him get maimed and get beat up so bad that he can't fight anymore. That's horrible. How could you wish that on another human being?
He's done, okay?
That's disgusting.
He's done.
That's disgusting.
All right, boys. All right, as you can see,
he's
very upset.
Making me sick.
He's very upset with
sick.
This, Robert. Robert, we're going to put you on hold here.
I'm going to keep him on the line.
He's going to throw up.
I'm disgusted.
What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you?
Listen. There's one line we can't cross here. He's rooting for people to get hurt.
On the show tonight, you know how many lines we've crossed on the show already tonight?
We don't condone violence here.
It's a boxing show.
Well, we don't want people getting maimed, in other words. It's the love of the sport. We don't want people getting maimed. He's rooting for Golovkin to get maimed so he can never fight again. We don't condone that.
Just stop.
We don't condone that.
Please stop. Please stop.
That's not what we're looking for here.
Stop. Oh, my goodness.
Now I'm disappointed in you.
You're disappointed in me? What did I do?
Because you're enabling this guy now.
I'm enabling. All right. Let's talk about the upcoming fights here. April 16th, the big one on Showtime pay-per-view. Errol Spence versus Yordanis Ugas for Spence's WBC and IBF welterweight titles and Ugas's WBA super welterweight title. Radza Butyev versus Imantas Stanojis, 12 rounds for Butyev's WBA regular welterweight title. This is on the undercard here. Brandon Lee versus Zachary Ochoa, 10 round junior welterweights. Isaac Cruz versus Yuriorkis Gamboa. Yes, Gamboa still fights. And that should be, and then Francisco Vargas is on the undercard versus Jose Valenzuela. So Josezito Lopez also on the undercard. This is a solid card. This is a good card. I don't mind this card at all. I think it's going to be worth, I think the main event alone is worth the pay-per-view money. I can take or leave the second one, but I'm going to tell you what I really want to see on this card is that's Brandon Lee. Brandon Lee versus Zachary Ochoa. Brandon Lee is really being touted as the next up-and-coming guy, and I think he could be, and I think this will be a good showcase for him. I'm anxious to see what he has. I'm anxious to see how he looks under the big lights.
Step up, right?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. April 16th in Manchester. We'll come back to that fight in just a second here. April 16th, Manchester, England, on the zone. Conor Benn versus Chris Van Heerden. 12 rounds welterweights. Alicia Baumgartner versus Edith Soledad Matisse. 10 rounds for Baumgartner's WBC Junior Women's Welterweight, whatever. Let's see here, and that's going to be it. Now, what was this look for? Oh, what was that? That.
I can't even do it anymore. Fucking wearing me out tonight.
Conor Benn versus Chris. I think Conor Benn is going to blow out Chris Van Heerden. I love Chris Van Heerden. He's friend of the show, everything like that. Super, super nice guy.
He's a good guy.
But, man, this is hopefully he gets a great payday for this. But, yeah, he's not beating Conor Benn. There ain't no way. Conor Benn's too big, too strong. Campbell Hatton also on that undercard. And that'll be it for this weekend. That'll be it for this weekend. So let's talk a little bit about this Errol Spence fight. Errol Spence, Yoenis Ugas for the undisputed, I guess almost undisputed. The WBO is still out there. So by that guy, what's his name, Beeb? That guy everybody thinks is pound for pound or second in pound for pound. Is that Terrence Crawford? That's correct. The guy, huh? How about that? Fly Tendencies, thank you so much. He says, hashtag MOB. You know, and speaking of Montero, Montero's going to be fighting next month. We're going to have to get him on the show. He's going to be fighting next month. He's doing another fight. Wow. That was rude. There's no comment, nothing like that. I said, Montero's fighting.
Oh, I always support Montero. It goes without saying.
Yeah, does it though? I don't know. I don't know if it does go without saying.
I'm a huge Montero fan.
Oh, yeah? Because it didn't seem like it. Because know I was excited when I heard he was fighting again. So excited that I announced it on the show. And Beeb's response,
What am I going to do? Start doing cartwheels?
Hey, congratulations to Montero, baby.
I'm in a studio. I can't be doing cartwheels.
I'm just saying. Listen, man, I want you talking. When he comes back on here, I want you talking recklessly like you did after his last fight when you said, you know, he wasn't throwing enough jabs. He didn't look that great. I could have probably went in there. You know, if you talk recklessly then.
Unlike
that?
Ryan Garcia.
Let me tell you what. I could put that together. Trust me. I could put that together.
Unlike Ryan Garcia, Montero has an excellent jab. I'm a huge Mike Montero fan.
Look at you kissing up now. Yeah, that's right. And you know what?
Montero is 6'4".
Big guy. How tall are you?
Like 6 feet, one half inch. You got to get that half inch in there, man. That's all I got left, that little fucking half inch. I'm not getting
Montero's like 6'4". He's big, big guy. Yeah,
he's a bad dude.
He's a monster, man.
He's a former Marine. I wouldn't fuck with him.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
Nope, he's in great shape.
Fly Tendencies, thank you so much. He says, always felt like Spence is overrated. Am I crazy? Yes. quick answer, yeah. Yeah, you're crazy. Yeah, Spence is not overrated. Spence is a world-class fighter, world-class Olympian. I mean, any place that he's gone in boxing, he's conquered. I mean, and he's, defending his titles and said, nah, he's not overrated at all, man. You're looking at one of the best out there, if not the best out there, for sure.
I think when people compare him to Crawford, it's open to debate whether or not he's on Crawford's level. But again, they should all be in the conversation. I mean, when you're in the top five, you're in the top five. You know,
yeah.
He's in the top. He's arguably in the top two, right? So
right. My man Tommy Boxeo, thank you so much for supporting us. He says salute to the podcast. Watching this podcast all the way from Montreal, Canada. Keep the jokes coming. Absolutely, my man. Absolutely. He always tags us on Twitter with news articles and everything. He's awesome.
I love him.
Love it.
I love our chat. We have great people in our chat. Even Notorious VC, Busty aggravates the shit out of me, but I still appreciate the fact that he comes back every week.
A lot of people calling for Montero versus Beeb. That's weird. In the chat. No, that's crazy.
That's so. I'm going to be 53 years old in 8 months. I mean, come on. 53 years old.
Well, so I'm just saying what the crowd wants. I mean, I get a discount
on the coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. Come on. There's no way I'm getting in the ring again.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man. I'll be honest with you. I don't blame you for being scared. I don't blame you.
I was at Market Basket last week, and I was fighting a 65-year-old woman over a bag of oranges, and man, I couldn't grab that bag of oranges out of her hand, man. I just don't have it like I used to. This age is starting to catch up to me, man.
Yeah, I hear it. Listen, like I said, man, it's okay to be scared. I think we're all scared at some point or another. I don't blame you. You know, it takes a real man to walk away from something like that.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Right. So you gotta live to fight another day. Sometimes.
That's right. That's right, Beef.
Right. So pick and choose your battles.
All right. So, Errol Spence and your Dennis Ugas, Beeb, how do you have this fight going, man?
Believe it or not, I actually think Ugas is going to pull this one off. I really do. I think, unlike what Spence says, Ugas is a very tricky guy. He fights in spurts, right? There's a lot of little things in there that make him difficult to deal with. A lot of subtle movement, never stands straight in front of his opponent, constantly steps around his opponent, creates great punching angles for himself. Like I said before, and I'll say it again, he's the type of guy that gets a lot out of a little. Doesn't throw a ton of punches, but he lands at such a high rate. Not a lot of wasted movement, right? Spencer's the guy, right, who likes to come straight forward. But as of late, what I've noticed in these last couple of fights is Spencer's throwing a lot less power punches, and he's throwing a lot more jabs, and he's trying to fight in the center of the ring more so. And he was able to get away with it against guys like Mikey Garcia. He was able to get away with it against guys like Danny Garcia because those guys are mid-range guys that they're not really quick on their feet. And, you know, he could deal with them on the outside, pot-shotting them. But the old Errol Spence back in the Kell Brook days, he used to walk guys down, back them into a corner, back up against the ropes, really try to grind them out on the inside. And he's not doing that anymore. So if he tries to fight this fight in the center of the ring against Ugas, who's a really good counterpuncher, I think Ugas is going to be parrying that right jab. And as he's parrying that right jab, he's going to catch that right jab, and he's going to be stepping in with that overhand right, sort of like we did with Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao kept trying to come in. He would try to jab his way in. He was catching the right. He was, you know, he was catching the right jab. And as he was catching that right jab, he would just step in with that right hand, and then he would just turn Pacquiao. I think he's going to be turning Spence. I think he's going to constantly make Spence have to reset. Now, you may get into a situation here where it's going to be quality over quantity, where Spence may be throwing a lot of punches. He may be looking like he's doing more because he's trying to do more, but he may not be successful with it. So you could see him throwing a lot more punches than Ugas, but you could see Ugas landing the more eye-catching shots and just landing the more cleaner work here. So I look for Ugas, to win a decision here that's probably going to be a split controversial decision. You know, people are going to probably say at the end of this fight, well, look at all the jabs Spence threw, and then the other side of the argument would be, well, look at those clean right hands that Ugas was landing. He was snapping Spence's head back. So, yeah, I just think that Ugas, because of his timing, because of his boxing IQ, because of the subtle movement, because of his ability to hold his ground in the center of the ring when he has to, I think when you look at that Porter fight, that pretty much says it all. You know, I think that I had that fight scored 9-3 for Ugas. A lot of people think it was a close fight. I thought Ugas clearly won that fight. I think Ugas is just a very underrated boxer. I think he's got a high boxing IQ, and I think he's gonna win this fight. I think he's gonna land the more clean telling blows in this fight, in my opinion. And I really question, you know, Spence, what, you know, what version of Spence we're going to get. We're hearing things like, and these are things that come out of his mouth that I, you know, I had one foot out the door, that I've had trouble making weight my whole career, that I was 70% of myself in that Danny Garcia fight. And when asked why, well, I was still feeling aches and pains from that accident. So who knows if he's not still feeling aches and pains from the accident now? And who knows if there's not going to be some PTSD? Who knows, you know, why is he throwing less power punches now? You know, is he, you know, second-guessing himself now? Does he want to be that aggressive guy? Does he want to put himself in harm's way? Or does he want to try to become that boxer and not put himself where he can sustain damage? So we'll see. We'll see. But I like Ugas in this fight. I think he's very live.
Very good, man. Very good. I'm taking Errol Spence. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care what version of Errol Spence you get. We've only seen one version of Errol Spence. I mean, quite honestly, all he does is win. That's it. You can talk about this version, that version, whatever version, that 70% version you put out against Danny Garcia, wipe Danny Garcia. Wipes everybody. His fights aren't even close, by the way. His fights are not even close. You know? He's going to beat Ugas. I'm going to tell you why he's going to beat Ugas, because he's going to put pressure on Ugas. Ugas is going to be naturally going back anyway. He's a natural counterpuncher anyway. He likes to box. The problem is Spence is going to go to his body. He's going to go to his body early. He's going to go to his body often. I don't think you're going to see a lot of headshots from Spence early. I think he's going to go into his body early. He's going to put that pressure on him. Now, I think that, you know, Ugas is a really good fighter. But I tell you what concerned me in the Pacquiao fight is Pacquiao's a volume puncher. All right? Ugas is not that guy. Ugas is not a volume type of puncher. The volume that Spence throws is going to be enough to win him rounds. Whether he's effective or ineffective, I'm telling you, he's going to win rounds that way because just of the sheer volume this guy throws. He throws a lot of shots, and he's going to clip him at one point or another. I don't think, and let me tell you this, Ugas is too good defensively to get knocked out here. I don't think Ugas gets knocked out, but I think he gets decisioned here. I think it's a pretty clear decision. It could be close, maybe, I would say 8-4, 9-3, but I think Spence gets this. Ugas is definitely live. Listen, I don't disagree with anything you really said in the sense that I could see the fight going down that way, but this is just how I see the fight going down. I wouldn't be surprised if Ugas wins this fight.
Hey, Spence is the clear favorite. He's a minus 350. Ugas is a plus 275. So
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this fight goes either way. I get you.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, I just think that for those couple of reasons there, Spence throws too much. He goes to that body. I think that's going to be – and I think his power also. You know, last time you were fighting Pacquiao, Pacquiao doesn't have that kind of crazy power. That Spence is a natural at this weight. Spence is a natural at this weight, man. And he can move up to 154. He can move up. You know, he's shrinking down. This is a big guy. He is a big guy, man. So I think that the body work of Spence is what's going to do it, and I think just the sheer volume is going to win him rounds when he's not going to the body. And even if he misses a bunch of shots, that sheer volume is going to win him the rounds because Ugas doesn't throw that much in the way of punches. You know, he's not a big volume guy. He's a counter.
Yeah.
So I see it going in. I see it going Spence's way. Like I said, 8-4, 9-3, somewhere in there. That's what I see. Chacal, incidentally, is picking Spence also. So when Chacal picks somebody, you probably tend to go with him because he wins a lot of money. So there you go. excited to see Brandon Lee on that undercard?
I like Brandon Lee.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see. You know, like he's supposed to be like the next big thing. Is he the next big thing? I don't know. Like we gotta see him. We gotta see him under the lights, man. We gotta see him in stiff competition.
You know who else is on that undercard? I don't know if you mentioned it, and I apologize if you did. Vitor Malnecki's on that undercard as well.
No, I don't even have him listed on there.
Yeah, he's on that. I heard he's on that undercard as well.
Really?
He'll be on the non. I think he'll be on like not the pay per view part of it, but you know how they have like the sometimes
the
they show those fights.
Whatever. Yeah,
they'll probably show him on the Showtime app or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, he's on the undercard as well.
Very good, man. Yeah, that'll be awesome. Sure. I love watching Vito fight.
Yeah.
516 area code 516. You're live.
Jesse Reakin, what up, guys? How's everybody?
How Jesse. You guys doing?
Before we get started, Jesse, I just want to congratulate you. Before you get started,
you want another rap battle?
No. He officially promoted to the. He's officially been promoted to the director of public relations here at Ringside Reporter.
Jeez.
So, I just want to congratulate. I want to congratulate him on his new position.
I'm sorry, to interrupt you. We had hit the skids before. We're definitely hitting the skids now. I'll tell you that.
I try the best I can. You know, I try to help out when I can. You know that.
Where are you at? The wind tunnel?
Yeah, I don't know why it's so windy.
This is what it sounds like.
I don't know why it's so windy.
That's all
I
hear.
Why
don't you go inside?
I just went inside. How do you like the draw option on this? This fight, plus 2,000.
So, why, if you want to throw 20 on it, why not? It's not horrible to throw 20 on it, but I don't know if I see
you
that.
You know what you could do, Jesse? Jesse, you know what you could do? Is take the 20 and then mail it to me because that bet ain't coming through. So. That fight ain't ended up in a draw. Stop.
You're
trying to give advice, Dave. Look at you trying to give advice.
Come on, Eric.
What's wrong with you?
Why are you going to shame? Why are you going to shame the kid just because he has an idea?
It's a lousy idea. Just saying.
He's an independent thinker. Let him think.
He's not doing a very good job, so sometimes I have to interject.
Whoa, you can't say that. Go ahead, Jesse. Go ahead, Jesse. I got you back.
Yeah, I think Spence wins fairly easy this fight also. Those odds aren't really betting odds, though. I wouldn't mind the draw option just for the possibility of getting 2 G's to your 100. Eric is looking forward to the Serrano versus Katie Taylor fight. I got my tickets for that one.
Of course.
And Clarissa Shields, you know, she's on the mark. I think women's boxing is making a comeback right now. You know, Clarissa Shields and this girl that beat her in the amateurs going back and forth, and that fight's supposed to be made. Like, I'm hyped for women's boxing in a while, man. So, Eric, how do you and Bob Arum feel about women's boxing being the main event? Do you think it's good for the sport?
I love it, man. I love it, man, because the weigh-ins at that point take center stage. They're up there, you know. They're wearing hardly anything, and then just getting up on the scales, turning around and stuff. Almost like a catwalk kind of thing, you know what I mean? I like it.
Is Eric Lauder, a not represented by staff here at Ringside Reporter or Beeb Industries.
Beeb Industries.
But, yeah, I'm going to
that
fight, so I got the rock. I'll let you guys go because I'm going back outside.
All right, Jeffy.
The freaking tunnel.
I know, right?
I think Emil Carr is going to that fight, too. Maestro?
Is he?
A lot of people. Yeah.
Before.
Big. Come on, Eric. Please. Great. It's a great event. Madison Square Garden. It's going to be packed to the gills.
Hey, listen, I love MSG. I love New York. 302. Here you go, 302. You're live.
How you guys doing? This is Wheelchair. It's Wheelchair Man John. How you guys doing?
Good. Wilson, what's on your mind?
I'm super excited about the Spence Ugas fight, but I'll tell you what, Ugas cannot leave it up to the judges. If he leaves it up to the judges, he's gonna lose. I think they're gonna favor Spence just like they did in the Porter fight. I thought he beat Sean Porter.
I did too. Yeah, I thought Ugas beat him. I thought Ugas beat him too.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be a good, competitive, entertaining fight, and Spence is going to get the decision.
All right.
7-5, 8-4, somewhere in there.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right, Wilson, we got you on record.
All right.
All right, thank you, sir. Yeah, is it just me, or did he sound like the Godfather? Remember Brando and the Godfather? Didn't he sound like that? Sounded like that. God, what? 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 He sounded like the Godfather. What do you want to know? I mean, he did.
He's doing his best, man.
I'm just saying, enough with these backhanded compliments. I'm just saying, Brando, son. You're talking about Brando.
He's doing
took the time to call in. This is how you treat him. That's messed up.
Please.
937, you're live.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Sly in Dayton, Ohio, man. Hey, what's up, Joe? Hey, guys. I wanted to just expound a little. I know I didn't really put a lot of details in my comment about Spence being overrated, but it's not that I don't respect him. I think he's a great body boxer, and he's fun to watch, and he's entertaining. I like the shit talk. I mean, the problem I have is that I felt like if Kell Brook hadn't have gotten injured, he probably wouldn't have won that fight. And if you look at, like, the Porter fight, like, I felt like the only thing that separated him and made him got him to win in that fight was the knockdown. Like, I feel like he's really been skimming by with a lot of these guys lately. And I don't think he's going to be able to beat Crawford, but am I crazy for thinking that? I mean, go ahead. I just want to qualify.
I get what you're saying, man, but I don't think he's been skimming by anybody. Really, the only close fight he's had was, what, against Porter? And he put him down in the 11th, what was it, the 11th seed? And he put him down?
Mm-hmm. I think it was the 11th. That's correct, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the only close fight I remember him being in.
You know what it is? He was just such a dominant guy. He was like that guy who was knocking everyone out. And then when guys started going the distance with him, that Mike Tyson-ish type aura started to kind of fade a little bit. And I think sometimes when fighters don't win the way we expect them to win, we tend to question if they're really as good as what we once thought, because they're not winning the same way. And, I get it. It happens sometimes. I've done it before. And it's human nature. It's the nature of the beast. To answer your question, I don't think you're crazy. I mean, you know, maybe in your opinion, you feel as though, like you said, he's not, like, people talk about him like he's this killer. And he was talked about like that. And now he's really hasn't shown that he's that killer anymore. But as to Eric's point, you know, he is still winning the fights. He is still getting his W in the win column.
He's got a lot of diehard fans.
And for that, we
got to
give him credit.
Yeah. He's got a lot of diehard fans for sure. I take a lot of shit for for feeling that. But the last thing I was going to ask, I'll let y'all go after this, but I was listening yesterday that on this Boxing Squared channel, it was talking about the Fury-White fight. They said that Dillian White is using – he's got, I think, 6 sparring partners. 2 of them were the ones Wilder used for his training camps with Fury, and I want to know what you guys thought about that, considering that, I mean, Wilder had his moments, but I felt like he didn't do, other than his moments in the third fight, I didn't think he did great. So I wanted to see what you guys thought about that, and I'll jump out of here.
I don't think it matters. I'll be honest with you. I don't think it matters who White brings in. He can bring in Deontay Wilder to camp. I don't think it matters. He's not winning this fight. But that being said, even still, I mean, you know, you'll bring in a bunch of tall guys, you know, but how many of them are going to be able to box? Tyson Fury is one of those guys that's hard to mimic. I think he's very hard to mimic. Just with his movement alone, it's tough to win that fight. But as far as him bringing in guys, he ought to just bring in guys to bring in, you know what I mean, guys that are going to help him. I don't know whether bringing in the guys from Wilder's camp are really going to help him or not.
Yeah, I'm finding it's going to be hard to replicate. He's got guys that have the size, but they just don't have the movement. But there's this German guy that Wilder used that he's 1-0, but they've used him. A lot of guys that have fought against Fury have used him. So I wanted to see what you guys thought about that. But I kind of have the same thing. But
yeah.
What do you think, Joe?
I don't give White much of a chance in this fight. Like I've said before, it's going to look to me like the Fury-Chisora fights. I thought Fury won those fights pretty clearly and pretty handily. And I think Fury is going to knock Dillian Whyte out, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think the fight's going to be that competitive.
No.
Hope I'm wrong, though. I would like to see the fight be competitive. But, yeah, I'm excited for it, too.
All right, guys. Hey,
all right, Fly.
Great show. I'll be on
thank
the line,
so
man.
Much.
Thank
all
you,
right,
guys.
Man. Awesome, man. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Robert just texted me. He wants to know what the pay-per-view is going to cost next week. Like $79 probably.
Yeah.
Only $80. It's what they usually are. It's what they usually are. 805. 805, you're live.
Hey, Beeb. What's going on? You and Robbie out here having fallouts on the show? I mean, what the hell?
I have nothing but respect for Robbie. I have nothing
it
but
sure didn't sound like that a little bit
Robbie.
Earlier.
Oh, he
talking about his ex-wife and stuff. That was
oh, but I wasn't going to go in. I wasn't going to go in.
It sounded like you were going to go in to me. That was,
no, that was just like a warning.
I don't mean I was going to say it, but you were out of pocket there.
That was like a flare. That was like a flare.
Flare.
I wasn't going all the way in on that one.
Aaron Daly, hang on, Nacho, before you go any further. Aaron Daly, thank you so much. He says, Whyte stops Fury. Eric or Beeb, do you want a pie bet? Yes. That is a hard yes. Absolutely. I will take Tyson Fury in that fight to win. You got it. Pie bet has been set. And for Chandler M said that he won't take that bet. Chandler M says he wants he's going to take Kambosos over Haney. Another pie bet. I'll take Haney. We'll do it again. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like Haney in that fight too.
Yeah. I would have went through. All right, Nacho, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to touch on some of the fights yesterday. With Robbie over here retiring Golovkin. I don't know why people are, like, completely surprised that, to me, it was more ring rust than anything with Golovkin starting off slow. I give Murata credit for going out there and, you know, taking the fight to him. And like you guys said, he did have his moments where he did land some uppercuts and some body shots that looked like they did. They definitely affected Golovkin at the beginning. But after round four, that was as one-sided of a fight as you could get. Golovkin just pounded Murata pretty much from pillar to post. And the only thing that kept Murata up was his toughness and his heart, because he was not landing anything really significant after round four. He just took a beating pretty much from that point on. And Golovkin got the stoppage, and he won. Does he have a legitimate shot to win against Canelo? In my opinion, it's about a 60-40 fight in favor of Canelo.
What?
Yeah, I don't see...
Is weed legal in California, Nacho? Is that what's going on here? Because he's got zero chance.
Eric, come on.
I'm going to repeat this because for the people in the back, because I think that's where you're sitting right now. He has got zero chance of beating Canelo. Zero.
Okay. Well, I'll stick to my prediction there. You know, I think he's got a chance, but it's not a great. But he doesn't have a great chance. Let's put it that way. You know, I think, you know, him being where he's at this point in his career, yeah, he's not the best version of Golovkin at this point. So, you know, they knew what they were doing, waiting him out this long. So, you know, it is what it is. But it'll be interesting to see how long Golovkin definitely lasts for that fight for sure. And then for the Showtime card, man, that was a damn good fight last night between Lubin and Fondora. I mean, Lubin's corner, Kevin Cunningham, I have to give that dude a lot of credit. He was trying to tell Lubin exactly what he had to do in order to, you know, try to go out there and kind of be effective and try to negate Fondora, but Fondora was just like a snowball rolling down a hill. Once he started tagging Lubin with those uppercuts and those body shots, he couldn't do anything. And the fight just kind of, you know, went that way pretty much the whole fight. Lubin tried his damnedest to try and hit him and stay in the pocket, but he just got swarmed and he just couldn't handle the volume. when he got the knockdown in the seventh round and finally someone was able to hurt Fundora and knock him down, I thought there might be a slight chance he might be able to come back in the fight. But the fact that Fundora went out there the next round and just pounded on Lubin all over again, I said, oh, yeah, this fight's over. So credit to Cunningham for him knowing that his guy was done and he needed to pull the plug. And I think he saved Lubin's career. Last thing you would want to see is him get just laid out for no reason. Like, he was not going to win that fight no matter what.
He didn't save Lubin's career because Lubin's career is not going anywhere now. So what difference does it make? I mean, really, where does Lubin go from here? I mean, he's a gatekeeper now, right? I mean, he's been knocked out twice. Where does he go?
I mean, I think he can rebuild. I think he can be rebuilt again. I mean, it's just a matter of how does he want to be rebuilt again, because he already went through it once. Is he willing to go through it all
rebuilt.
Over again? You know, that's up to him and his
rebuilt.
Team.
He's done.
And that's what
done.
I mean. It can be done again, but it's up to him if he wants to do it or not, you know. And then the Harrison-Garcia fight, Harrison looked great. He just took apart Garcia. Garcia had no answer. No matter what he tried, he took him apart. I wouldn't mind seeing Tony Harrison fight Tim Tszyu if they can make that fight next, for sure. Because I think
I think that's a
legitimate test for Tim, for sure. I would like to see that fight happen if it can be made. And then the other fight was just that was just tough to watch. That Salgado Perella. I'm not even gonna really comment. I thought Perella should have won, but you know, they both were a victim of the way they both fought. Neither guy really went out there and acted like they wanted to win that fight. It just seemed like guys were just going through the motions. So, you know, and then the ESPN card. What was I going to say? I like Santillan. I think Santillan's a legit prospect that's going to be a contender soon enough. I think the only thing that's missing with him is that if he had a little bit more pop in his punches, he'd be I think he could be a legitimate threat to some of the dudes at 47. But I think his lack of power is going to kind of hurt him when he gets to the upper echelon guys, whoever that may be, when Spence and Crawford and some of these other dudes finally do leave the division. But, you know, I like the way he fights, and he's definitely entertaining to watch. So I wouldn't mind seeing him, you know, get another TV spot, but hopefully against a better opponent, because Barraza was really nothing more than just a sparring partner in there last night. He just went out there and got beat up for a paycheck. And then Maloney, you know, he did what he had to do. It was stay busy fight. I'm curious, who do you guys think he should get as far as, like, they're talking about putting him on the Haney Cambosos card in Australia? Do you think he should get a title shot, or do you think it's just going to be another, you know, stay busy fight if he does end up being put on that card?
It'll be a stay busy fight. Nobody wants to see. I mean, nobody really outside of Australia. I mean, it's going to be in Australia, so it'll be a big fight for him and everything like that. But no, he shouldn't get a title fight. No.
Yeah, I kind of
figured fight. It'll be a stay busy fight.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question now. Before we let you go here, who do you like in the Spence Ugas fight next week?
I've been kind of going back and forth on this. I just honestly think that if there's a time for an upset, I think this might be it. I could definitely see Ugas pulling this one off, just because I'm not convinced that Spence. I'm just not convinced that Spence is all the way back. Like, having the weight issues, the car accident, one fight since that car accident with Danny Garcia. I'm just not sure what version of Spence we're going to get. I mean, he's been trying to play the part for this fight, as far as he actually stayed close to weight this time, and you're not hearing these reports of him being like 30 or 40 pounds overweight and then having to cut all the way down. So he looks like he's been in shape. I just question how much of Spence is really left at this point, because I think that car accident, even though they've been trying to downplay it, I think that car accident has altered his career, whether he wants to admit it or not. And I'm just not sure we're ever going to see the Spence that we saw take apart like Kell Brook and guys when he was doing that on his way up. I just don't think we're going to see that
He's
level of Spence.
Guys. I mean, what level? I mean, what else does he need to do?
No, I understand that. I understand that, Eric. But at the same time, I think the whole weight issue of him blowing up in between fights, and then I think that car accident, I think it took something out of him. I just don't think we're ever going to necessarily see like the best version we could have seen had he not had those issues. Is all I'm saying, you know. And I think Ugas right now is the hot fighter. He's been more active, and I just think if there's a upset that can be pulled, it could be this weekend with him going in there and doing it. So, all right, guys, that's my call. What happened?
How did you think? What did you think of Ryan Garcia?
That was, I don't know, Dave, like to go. I never thought much of to go as an opponent, to be honest. I thought he was just a guy who had a built-up record. So I really didn't think anything other than it was just a get the rust off, you know, just get back in there fight for Garcia. And yeah, that's what it was. But the biggest issue is Goosen is going to have to get that kid to break those bad habits of his, like, you know, just standing there, looking at guys, not really throwing jabs, you know, just kind of running around the ring. Like, he has to learn how to cut off the ring with some of these guys when they're not necessarily trying to engage with him like other guys had in the past. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done with him and Goosen. So for the time being, it was an okay performance, but I expect better from him moving forward, especially being with Joe Goosen.
Sounds good.
So,
all right, Nacho, we're going to get running here.
All right, guys.
And
yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in, man. He's had a couple of takes. He was wrong on both of them, babe. It's crazy.
Please.
And he was wrong on the Lumen take. He was wrong on the Spence take. Son, he's out of his game lately. Have you noticed that? Am I the only one who thinks Nacho's out of his game? I think he's out of his game.
Ever since he beat me in those quiz games, man, his game has been going off the charts right now.
Like off the rails, you mean?
No, he's up there, man.
No. I think he's off the rails, man. I think that
his IQ is through the roof.
No. I don't think so. Well, compared to yours, maybe, but no. Uh-uh.
Way better than Robbie's.
Oh,
I'm a Mensa with you. I'm like Asia Carrera, man. I'm a Mensa candidate.
You're like Asia Carrera. What are you, a broke porn star? What are you talking about?
No, come on, man.
She's got a
great
You're still on her? You're still on her? We saw pictures of her, son. Come on.
I love her, man.
She looks terrible now.
No, come on.
Oh, come on. She's broken down, son.
No, she's not.
Stop it. Force/TV said, let's talk boots. Yeah, man. I tell you what. When is Jerron Ennis going to get a shot here?
He'll get one eventually. I mean,
you might be looking at the best welterweight out there. I mean, let's be honest.
I think he'll get one next year, beginning of next year, maybe.
I hope so. I like him a lot, man. I really do. I want to see him fight again. All right, news and rumors this week. Beeb, I want you to brace yourself. Floyd Mayweather is coming back to fight again.
No.
He is fighting Don Moore, dangerous Don Moore. And Lisa just entered the chat and said, I know an awful lot about porn stars. Listen, I learned it all from Beeb. I learned all this from Beeb. Beeb's always talking about porn stars and all this other stuff. I'm just telling you, this is where I hear it from. Where I hear it from.
Always trying to throw me another bus.
Yeah.
Do I deserve this?
I think you do. I think you do.
I'm nothing but a gentleman on here.
Yeah. All right. So Floyd's coming back against Don Moore. Who is Don Moore? Don Moore is undefeated. He's 18-0. He's Floyd's former sparring partner. And he's 42 or 43 or something like that, by the way.
Jesus Christ.
The worst part about all this, aside from the actual fight itself, It'll take place next month. I think it's on the 14th, May 14th in Dubai, right? So it'll be on May 14th in Dubai, but the worst part of all this is that his press conference took place the same time, same day as Tank Davis's press conference with Rolly Romero. What is that? I mean, really, like, this is your guy. I mean, really, this is your guy, right? You're promoting him while you're supposed to be promoting him in this big pay-per-view fight or whatever it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be pay-per-view. I keep hearing different things about it. Different things, right? But this is a big fight for your guy, and you're over there giving a press conference for your fight taking place 2 weeks later because you know his fight is going to be on pay-per-view. You know, it's ridiculous.
I don't see how this relationship's going to last, to be perfectly honest with you.
It's not. It's not. I don't think there's any question.
I don't even think it should.
No, I don't think it should. Tank Davis ultimately took to social media and wrote the following. LOL, he had a press conference today on the same day. No matter how much money you have, you can still be jealous. You can still be jealous of a MF. He's done. I think that, and if you're not done, you should be done.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
I think this relationship has ran its course.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he really hasn't done much for his career. I mean, Tank's at a spot right now where he's either going to go up or he's going to go down. No matter if he still wins or not. And they don't want to fight anybody over there. Leonard Ellerbe had already said, we're just going to make fights in-house.
At some point, Tank's going to want to fight the Ryan Garcias of the world. He's going to want to fight the George Camposes of the world. He's going to want to fight the Devin Haney's of the world.
Right.
And if he's got a promoter that is refusing to give him those opportunities, then there's only so far this promoter can take you. There's only so long you're going to want to stay with him.
This promoter's worried about promoting himself.
Yeah.
Not him. And what are you paying him for?
And then you got a guy, because he's got beefs with everybody else, he's letting that affect your career. Oh, we don't want to make other promoters rich. What about making your fighter rich? What about him? Doesn't he deserve to be rich?
Yeah.
You know? So.
Same reason he left Bob Arum, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
And D-Style makes a great point when we talk about this. He's like, Floyd gives like Top Rank no credit for his career. They did a pretty decent job for him, you know, while that relationship lasted.
Yeah.
Obviously, he went on to bigger and better things.
Right.
But they did help build him. No question about that. My opinion, anyways.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. And maybe the same will be done for Tank. So when he leaves, he'll become a way bigger star. Because I think, you know, you open it up and you can go to, you go to the Zone or wherever. This seems to be the trend, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but to fight, you know, Canelo's doing it, Devin Haney's now doing it, he's going to fight George Camposes, he's got a rematch clause, so it's a two-fight, maybe three-fight, I don't know exactly what the particulars are, so he gets him, then the rematch, and then whatever, you know, then he's off and doing his own thing again, and then you have, Canelo's doing the same thing, he bounces around, Anthony Joshua's been doing that, so...
Yeah.
I think that's what you're going to see. You're not going to see these guys tied down for any length of time anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point, Eric. I think fighters are going to start to learn that. You know, we'll sign a two-fight deal here, But
right.
I'm not going to lock myself in for 2-3 years to one promoter, man.
Right, we'll see what's going on. Yeah, exactly.
Because you got to look at the landscape of the division that you're in, right? And if you got all these guys and all these different promotional outfits and on these exclusive networks, then how are you going to get the fight that you want?
Right. Sly Tennessee's brought up a good point, not just because he's from Ohio. He's got an actual good point here. If the Zone paid that much for Triple G, they'll pay for Davis as well. He's right. He's right.
I agree.
Davis is an up-and-coming guy. And they'll want to feed Davis a little bit. Get his, you know what I mean? Feed him a couple, you know, fighters that probably shouldn't be in there with him, and then give him the big fights.
I agree.
I think that's good. That's good stuff. Plus, he's already established on pay-per-view. Why not? Why not?
I think so.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.